Yeah, so as Jeff said, we're continuing our series in the Psalms, which is called A Song for Every Season. And throughout August, a different person's going to bring a testimony of how a Psalms encouraged them, strengthened them, inspired them in their life. A bit of a factoid for you, if you like Radio 2 Steve Wright and factoids. The Psalms is the most often quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. Did you know that? No. It was the songbook, the poetry book, and the meditation book of the early church. So along with the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, the Psalms was the book that shaped the thinking and the feeling of the early believers more than any other. And the same is true for us today. Like, how many times on Sundays do we share a psalm? We sing a psalm, we pray through the psalms in small groups or individually. So the psalms has that kind of impact for us as well. We believe that the Psalms are divinely inspired and trustworthy because Jesus did. Simple as that. The words of the psalmists are both man's words and God's words. What man expresses, God is expressing for his purposes. For me, Psalm 138 is something that's really inspired me and challenged me over the years. So if you've got your Bibles, you're going to turn to Psalm 138. I think it will come up on the screen behind. It probably already has. We'll read it together. It's called Give Thanks to the Lord. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, and the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is rich, it brings life, it's challenging, it's inspiring, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts. We ask that you express who you are, your thoughts, your will to us, Lord, through what I've prepared, Lord, and through these words in the psalm. Lord, we want to receive what you have for us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the words of David are both his words and God's words. And somebody else famous, C.S. Lewis, wrote a book called Reflections on the Psalms. You may have read this. C.S. Lewis was an author, wrote children's books, but also wrote quite a lot of Christian books. One of the things that really stuck out for me is C.S. Lewis wrote, "The most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance." And I think we feel that, don't we, when we read the Psalms. For me, Psalm 138 exemplifies the reality of our life in God. It is true that God will work out his plans for me and for you, yet there are times when I'm not sure. I wonder, I worry, I have doubts. Psalm 138 brings me back to a right position of praise and thankfulness before God. It inspires me to thank God for all his blessings, but also encourage me to lay my hesitations before him. A question as a family we quite often ask each other at mealtimes is, what are you thankful for today? I often think about Psalm 138 and how David shares his thankful heart for God And it helps me to be thankful for all that he's doing in my life. It also helps to ground me. It helps me to think less of myself and more about him. It helps me focus on what's important in life. And I've got five things that I wanted to share with you about how the psalm helps me to be thankful and to praise him. So number one, I can praise God for his love. So in verse 2, it says that David worshipped even when he wasn't in the temple, when he wasn't physically in the temple. And he also declares the reasons for his praise. God's steadfast love and faithfulness, praise for his name, and praise for his word. Like David, I recognize that God loved me enough to create me, to save me, and help me. I can thank God for his steadfast love. I can thank God for his word, and that it is rich in showing me how wide and deep his love for me is. For me, his love is the primary reason to be thankful. Number two, I can call God for answers. Not call God, but call on God for answers. In verse 3, David praises for the many times God has answered him when he's called out from a place of weakness. God strengthened him. And there are times when I need help. And my problem is that I try and do things and solve things myself. I have a problem-solving job, and I just naturally fall into that pattern. I try and do things in my own strength too much. I still do, but I'm trying to learn to call out to God first before tackling it myself. There are times when I struggle with sin and the temptation to sin. And for me, distraction can lead me to a place of sin. And if you go back through my school reports, primary school, secondary school, it was always could do better, always distracted. And Paul in Romans 7:15 also declared how much he struggled with sin and the distraction of it. And C.S. Lewis was also no stranger to it. He wrote in this book as well. Lead us not into temptation often means, among other things, deny me those gratifying invitations, those highly interesting contacts, that participation in the brilliant movements of our age, which I so often at such risk desire. When I need help or recognize that I'm falling into sin, I literally try and open my Bible to Psalm 138 and trust, like David, that on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. And when I actually do it, it works. I stop. I don't go to the place of sin. But if I try and do it my own strength and not actually physically pick my Bible up, it never works. Number three, I can praise God in public. We also know that in verse 3, David had very practical reasons to praise and thank God. The Lord had answered and rescued him many times. When David's strength failed, God made him bold with strength in his soul. See, David's praise was not empty adoration. He had reasons behind it, and they were the basis for it. I try and look for opportunities to praise God in front of others because I know I am here because of God, like here because of God. I often take for granted who he is and what he's done. For me, there are three important reasons to praise God in public. One, for who he is, a God of loving kindness and truth. Two, for his word, the revelation of who he is. And three, for what he's done in my life. If anybody asks, I try and share how God's got me through a day. If anybody asks, I try and give him the glory and attention whenever I can. Number four, I can depend upon God in difficult times. We all know difficult times come. When they come, I try and take God to things to God first. Doesn't always work, but I'm trying. I know I have the tendency to be proud and try and deal with it myself. But Psalm 138 helps me cope with circumstances and challenges and people by reminding me to come to God first. It reminds me that God is infinitely great and that his strength is what I need, not my strength. We see in verse 6, David understood that God is great in glory and on high, yet he holds the lowly, the humble, in high regard. On the other hand, God keeps his distance from those that are proud. It reminds me to be humble and not proud. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." There have been times in my life when God has delivered me from difficult situations. He has strengthened me. He has put people around me that have loved me and built me up. In verse 7, David has confidence that God will deliver him. And I have confidence that God will deliver me. God's greatness and kindness builds our faith. It strengthens us. How has this played out in your own life? Number 5. I know that God will use me when I ask him for help. God has a whole lot invested in me. He's chosen me. He's redeemed me. He's sanctifying me or training me to be holy. It's a challenge. I remember that my son John once said how much I've changed since becoming a Christian. And John doesn't believe yet, but he can see the work that Jesus is doing in my life. He's going to perfect what he started, no matter how much it takes or how much effort it takes and how long it takes. But perfecting me will only be complete in heaven. I am a work in progress. In verse 8, David says, "Do not forsake the work of your hands." He reminds God of his promise to never leave us or forsake us. But God doesn't need reminding. But when we remind God, we're reminding ourselves that God doesn't lie. His promises are true, which builds our faith. God has a plan for every one of us, and he will fulfill that purpose. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, we read that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Psalm 138 brings me back to that right position of praise and thankfulness before God, because he is my strength. He has a plan for my life, and he will protect me. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I think about and I read and I pray about Psalm 138, I just want to worship. So I thought that would be quite a good one to end on, a song to worship. I think Joe's going to come up and sing with us. But I thought we could have a rousing worship song where we praise God and we thank him for his greatness, for his faithfulness. Let's worship together.